Hey, everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 68. What we're going to talk about today is some household principles that I have outlined for our own home. Came up with these a while back, and there are 16 of them. And I'm going to walk you through why I have them as principles for our home in order to keep order and to develop maturity in the children. And so it should be a good show. If you have children and you're looking to bring order into your home, certainly I have not created the best environment in the home, but certainly these principles can help in that direction. So should be a good show for you. But first of all, let me take care of a few other items. First of all, our affiliate focus for today is Vision Forum. Vision Forum is a great resource for families, and it has all kinds of resources in their store for whether it be DVDs or audios or books. They even have children's toys with good quality toys. And one of the great things I like about Vision Forum is that they have a real focus for biblically centered environment in the home, biblically centered perspective when it comes to all of their resources. And so check them out on the top right center column, Vision Forum, and link on that and look at their store, see what they all have. They have periodic sales going on as well and clearance items. So check those out. Also, I want to make sure that you are following us on the various social media, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Thank you for those of you who are doing that. We've had quite a few people come from Facebook to check out the Legacy Podcast. And so I appreciate those of you who are sharing us with others. And also, be sure that you are registered as a user for the website. You can do that on the right column, far right column of the website. And that enables you to get all the updates. If you were not registered, you don't know that I just sent out a video blog of a 13-year-old boy who was just who opened up a hot dog business, and the first day he was shut down because of government relationship with the big restaurants in the area. And so check that out, and you see, you'll know all kinds of other information when they happen by being registered. Also, it enables you to get all the updates, like I mentioned, but also be able to make comments to various podcasts or episodes or anything like that, and that's great. Also, I want to encourage you to subscribe through iTunes or whatever feed that you have. That helps us to be able to move up in the rankings and be noticed by more and more people and to continue to grow the audience. I appreciate those of you who are doing that. Of course, you can give feedback to me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. I'd love to hear what you have to say about what you're learning or ways that I can improve the show, things like that. I appreciate that. And then finally, if you like the show, I encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year, so that comes out to be less than about $2.50 a month and about 25 cents an episode. And with that, you're able to not only support the show, but you're also able to have access to our vendor page, which has some discounts to some suppliers and some vendors and some downloadable books and resources, that kind of thing. And so if you are so inclined to participate as a partner, then I encourage you to do that. That takes care of the introduction. So now let's go ahead and talk about the 16 household principles or rules that I've set up in our home in order to maintain order. These actually came about in a kind of a requirement in some ways, but also as a transition. I used to use Greg Harris's 21 Rules of the House, but I found that they were a little bit cumbersome, a little bit more complicated. They sometimes had repeated themes in them. And I love Greg Harris. He's been one of my mentors. But I have since then worked on these 16. And some of them actually have direct application to the Ten Commandments. But others of them are a little bit more specific in some ways to our own home. But here they go. I'm going to mention them and then make a few comments about them. Of course, you'll want to be able to go to the show notes and look at each one and download them. But number one is you will seek to glorify God above all else. Of course, that's the number one rule in our home, is that everything that we do is designed to glorify God, or that's the that's the intent, is that everything that we do is designed to glorify God. And so we understand that we're not the center of the universe. We're not the center. And trying to teach our children that they are not the center of the universe, that they're, you know, life does not revolve around them, but everything we do is designed to glorify God. That's rule or principle number one. And of course, that comes directly from the first of the Ten Commandments, which is you shall have no other God before you. And anytime we want to place glory on somebody or something else besides God, we are actually placing that thing in a position of God. And so it's important that we seek God above all else. That's rule number one, principle number one. Number two is you will be treated to the level of your displayed maturity. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. The way that I have taught it to my children is that I think sometimes children can be really strange creatures, because at one point they may seem like they are 10 years older than what they really are. And then at other times it seems like they're 10 years younger than what they really are. You know, you can take a 10-year-old, for example, and sometimes he acts like he's 19, 20, and, you know, wants to be like an adult and sit and discuss things as an adult. And then other times he acts like a 4-year-old and will tantrum and complain and fight. And it's really hard sometimes to determine what to do with somebody like that. And so the principle that is best to follow in that regard is that to treat them to the level of their maturity. So if they're acting like a baby and throwing a little tantrum, well, then I treat them like a baby. If they're acting like an adult and they're reasoning with me and So if they're reasoning things out and talking things through, then certainly I will treat them more as an adult, because those are the kinds of things that adults do. And so one of the principles that we use in that regard is that, you know, if they want to be treated like an adult, then they need to act like an adult. And if they want to be treated like a baby, well, then they can act like a baby and we'll treat them accordingly. And I try to teach the same thing to the relationships with each other as well. Number three is you will reap what you sow. Of course, this is right from the scriptures. It says that we'll reap what we sow. We cannot sow discord and then expect to reach harmony. We cannot sow to the flesh and expect to reap from the fruit of the Spirit. And so I try to teach that principle as well to the children. How does that apply on a specific level? Well, if my children sow laziness, then they're going to reap the consequences of laziness, which is, you know, poor grades in school, or, you know, work that's not well done, or, you know, not earning very much money when they come to work with me or whatever. So there's consequences to your actions is the bottom line. And that whatever you sow, that you will also reap. And, you know, the principle of sowing and reaping is an interesting one, because when you sow, you don't sow to the same bounty as you expect to receive. When you put down a seed, let's say a sunflower seed, you put down a sunflower seed, it's one seed, and yet from that one seed you can grow a sunflower, and that flower will then produce, you know, 50, 60, I'm not sure how many, but quite a few seeds from that one. And so there's always more that is produced than what is sown. And another principle about the sowing and reaping is that you always reap after you sow. And so we cannot expect to reap right away when we sow something. And so sometimes it takes some delayed gratification. It takes doing what is right now with the anticipation of expecting something in the future. And so there's a lot of principles related to the sowing and reaping, and it's something that you should be teaching your children as well. And so this is one of the principles that we hold fast to in our home. Number four is you will be responsible for your own and others' property that you use. Now, this, as you might imagine, can create a great deal of help when it comes to working with your kids, because, like with all kids, they share each other's toys, or they, you know, play with one another's things. They want to borrow each other's stuff. And if they're not able to take care of them, then the person's toy it is, or the person's property that it is, shouldn't be in trouble because of that. This is just practical sense. It's teaching them and training them as they get adults too, that, you know, if they're not responsible for something that is entrusted to them, then they have to pay the consequences for that. And so it develops that kind of responsibility within them. So they're responsible for other people's property, what they use. This is also very, very helpful when it comes to our things. You know, when our children are thrown around my wife's and mine things, property, whatever it is, then, you know, they have to pay the consequences for that. And You know, there's biblical principle, biblical precedence for this, obviously, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and other places where there is case law regarding property rights and how, you know, if someone's ox gets away and tears up the field or something like that, then, you know, they're responsible for that because it's property. And property rights is fundamental to personal liberties. And if you cannot protect your property rights, then we are a long ways from experiencing freedom. And so I want to be able to establish and ensure that property rights are upheld in our own home. Now, you know, when you have a child, what property do they have? Well, I mean, you know, they got their toy they got for Christmas, or, you know, they've got some clothes, or, you know, they've got their bed, or, you know, whatever it is, they've got certain things that they hold dear to themselves that they consider their property. And so the other children need to respect that, and they need to respect the property of them. And it goes vice versa. And so that's a principle that we teach and that we try to live by in our home. And then number five is, you will speak the truth to one another in love. Of course, this is true that they need to speak the truth to us when, you know, we ask them certain questions. They need to speak clearly and faithfully and truthfully to us, but they need to speak truthfully to each other as well. But they need to do so in such a way that it's loving. Sometimes you can say things that are truthful, but they're not very loving. And trying to teach children to discern when to say things and when not to say things, and to say only the truth when you say things, and to speak kind words when you say things. And that's a principle that needs to be trained within the children, and teaching them this principle is helpful in doing that. And of course, when it comes to responsibly each other's personal property rights, that kind of thing, that deals with do not steal. And of course, that is one of the Ten Commandments. And when you take someone's property, and even if you are intending to do good with it and you break it, it is, in a sense, stealing their property, stealing their value. And then number five, which is speak the truth to one another in love. This is dealing with bearing false witness. And then number six is you shall complete your work before you play. And of course, this deals with number four of the Ten Commandments, which is the work-rest principle. And, you know, the scriptures teach us that God has designed order in the universe to where we are able to work diligently when it's time to work and rest when it's time to rest. And so when we teach our children the principle that work comes before play, that is modeling this concept where God worked for 6 days to create the world, and then he rested. And so it's a natural tendency for us as creatures to want to play first and then get work. But if we can reward ourselves with the work or with the rest after we work, then that is when we are able to experience greater blessings. And so teaching our children to be able to complete their work before they play is important. One of the first things our children do when they get up, of course, is they want to play. But we've got chores lists for them, and they've got to complete those things. Now, obviously, they can't complete all their chores throughout the day because some of the things are required in the afternoon, that kind of thing. But even with that, there are periods throughout the day where they've got to complete their chores before they're allowed to play. And that's a good principle. It's a good principle for us as parents as well, for all people to be able to experience that, because there are times in our life where we will be tempted just to slough off and to play rather than to work. And if we can reward ourselves with the play after we work, it's far better. So number seven then is you will get more freedom as you show more responsibility. Now this is related to some extent with number two, which is you will be treated to the level of your displayed maturity. But it's a little bit different in that it gives a little bit more emphasis on the responsibility aspect of it. So in other words, if one of my children are showing a great deal of responsibility with the tasks that I have given to them, they're doing a good job, they're not having to have a great deal of oversight, that kind of thing, then I'm going to give them a little bit more freedom. At first, when assignment is given, and this is, you know, this is just good management principles, but, you know, when an assignment is first given, you got to really make sure you inspect what's going on, you watch what's going on, you make sure you give lots of feedback so that it's done correctly. But after a while, if they're starting to show that they're doing it well and they're taking on the responsibility and they're rising to the occasion and they're doing what needs to be done, then you can withdraw your hand of oversight and you can allow them to have a little bit more freedom and flexibility. So how does this play out in a specific level? Well, at first, you may require them to do a certain thing at a very certain time. And you have to watch them do it and make sure they do it correctly. But after a while, you can just tell them this needs to get done today. And then it's up to them because they're taking a little bit more responsibility and you give them a little more freedom as to when they're going to do that as long as they get it done. Now, this prepares the children, obviously, for when they get older. You know, you can't, when a child is 16, 17 years old, 18 years old, something like that, he's got his driver's license, she's got his driver's license, and they're, you know, they're able to go out and, you know, pick things up or do errands or whatever it is. You can't be over them like a hawk watching what's going on. You've got to prepare them gradually for that time where they will have the freedom necessary or they'll have the responsibility necessary to handle the freedom of being out from underneath your wing. And so we do this starting from an early age by giving them a little bit more freedom as they show more and more responsibility. And of course, our goal eventually will be to give them all the freedom that you have yourself. And at that point, they are adults and they're able to show the responsibility of being adults. Number eight then is you will obey your parents quickly, completely, and joyfully. This, of course, is in reference to the scriptures that is a direct command for children to obey their parents, but also the fifth commandment, which says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And so obeying your parents, and I have in there some adverbs describing exactly how they are to obey their parents quickly, completely, and joyfully. I think sometimes children get into the tendency of thinking that when they obey their parents, if they do so grudgingly or with a rolling of the eyes or something like that, that they are actually obeying. That's not obedience. That is a form of disobedience. Yeah, they may be doing the task, but they're doing it with the wrong heart. And so that needs to be addressed as well. So it needs to be done joyfully, but also needs to be done quickly. So they can't say, oh, well, I'll get to that. It needs to be done right away when asked to be done. And then, of course, it needs to be done completely, which means thoroughly and fully. And so obeying parents quickly, completely, and joyfully is number eight. Number nine is you will treat others kindly according to the golden rule. Of course, this is in reference to a lot of scripture, but as it pertains to the Ten Commandments, it's number sixth, which is you shall not murder. Now, why do I have it under that? Is because when we treat people unkindly, it comes from the same motivation as that which is murder. And Jesus makes this clear in the New Testament when he says, if you're angry with your brother without cause, then it is similar to murdering him. And so it's important to treat others kindly according to the golden rule. Now, I have the hardest time. I don't know if you have ran into this or not, too, but I have had the hardest time trying to teach my children this golden rule concept. And it seems like all of them, if they get hit, let's say, by one of their brothers, then they will hit back, thinking that that's the golden rule. And of course, that's not the golden rule. But they've got it confused a little bit with maybe the concept of, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and that kind of thing or something. But anyway, trying to teach them the concept that treating others the way that you'd want to be treated is the golden rule. That's so important, and it's so important in life, and you know, it really answers the whole question of how we are to treat others as adults. How much greater would society be if our government did that? If our government treated others as they themselves wanted to be treated, you know, there wouldn't be, you know, the government robs people of money through taxation and coercion. And, you know, that's not certainly what the golden rule would imply. They take from one people and give to another. And that's not golden rule. And so many other things are true in adult life as well. If we would just learn the golden rule and live by that in our old age, or as we get older, it would be so much better. So teaching that to our children early, helping them to develop that concept early, is a great plan for creating order in the home. And then number 10 is, you will limit your actions according to your environment. You will limit your actions according to your environment. This one was so needed in our home. I had the hardest time trying to keep my children from creating an environment in our home that just drove my wife crazy, because as you might imagine, with four boys and it's wild. And, you know, Mary is not much better sometimes, but, you know, the kids and we, our home is nice. It's big, but we have very little interior insulation, and we've got, laminate hardwood floors. And so it's very, very noisy. Anytime something's dropped, or, you know, they're playing swords and shouting and a sword drops on the ground or whatever it might be, it just reverberates the noise all throughout the house. And it can be very aggravating and stressful in our home with so much noise. And so, you know, you have that, and the Mary might be screaming or singing, or, you know, somebody else might be shouting at somebody else. And it's just so, so depleting and draining. So I came up with this principle to teach my children that there are certain actions that are appropriate at certain environments. And this is a great principle to learn, whether it be dress code or whether it be actions or speech or, you know, something like that. There are certain things that you can say when you're around your brothers that you can't say when you're at church. And there are certain actions that you can take when you're outside running around that you shouldn't take inside of a building. And this principle is really important, and trying to teach it to the children is fundamental to bringing order into the home out of chaos. And so number 10 is, you will limit your actions according to the environment. And number 11 is, you will be generous with your time and your possessions. Of course, we want to be able to teach our children generosity. We want them to be able to grow up with a giving heart. We want them to be able to learn the needs of others around, and how we can provide for some of those needs through our generous support. And we want them to be able to give generously to church and to missions and things like that. And so teaching them this principle is important, that generosity of time and possession. So as it comes down to children and toys and things like that, we want to encourage our children to be able to freely let other children play with their toys. And so when, you know, another family comes over who have children, a lot of times people will put up some of their favorite toys or put away some of their best things. And we've tried to discourage that. Now, I understand that at times, sometimes that can be worthwhile. But most of the time, we have encouraged them to let the guests play with whatever it is that they want to play with, and to be generous with those things. And, you know, understanding that, you know, they may get broken, they may get lost, they may not be treated well. And that's, you know, that's not nice on the other people's part, but it's generous on the children's part. And so we want to teach our children generosity, and that's a great way to do that. And then number 12 is, you will be courageous in your attempts. I have for a long time tried to encourage my children not to say can't, but rather to say I don't want to, because can't brings the idea that they're not willing to try. But we want our kids to be courageous. We want them to be able to take steps, even if they're afraid, to be able to do things that may be challenging, may seem too difficult. And of course, we know that there are certain things that are not able to be done by human creatures, that God has limited us. And I certainly don't want people to, or our children in particular, to think that I am teaching them this whole concept of, you know, new age, working from their own strength, and they can be all that, they think that they can be, and that kind of stuff. That's not where I'm going with it. But what I am trying to go with it is that we need to have people of courage. Just as Joshua was courageous, and Caleb, who was courageous, who went into the promised land, and 10 of them came out as cowards, saying, we can't go into the promised land. There are too big of giants there, too much to possess. And Caleb and Joshua were the two of the 12 that came back and said, we can take it. We can go in and possess. Yes, there's giants there, but God has given us this land. And that's the kind of courage we want to be able to teach in our children. So it's important to teach them this principle that you will be courageous in your attempts. Number 13 is you will engage in constructive activities when you have idle time on your hands. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about with this principle. It seems like as soon as there is idle time, when they're not given something to do, especially boys, they start being destructive. They start breaking something, hitting something, fighting, picking with each other, doing something that is destructive rather than constructive. And so I've tried to teach them to make sure that they do something constructive when they have time on their hands. If they don't find something constructive, then it's our goal as parents, and it's our responsibility to show them something constructive, to give them something constructive to do. We were placed on this earth not to have idle time. We were placed on this earth to be stewards, to be useful in this world, to make a difference. And when there's idle time, that is the time for being instructive and constructive and to be able to build from those things. And so you will engage in constructive activities when you have idle time on your hands. Number 14 is very specific to our home. You may want to tweak it for your own home, but the principle is this: you will use the computer for production, instruction, or communication, except for the 1 hour of electronic entertainment per day. We have allowed our children to have 1 hour of entertainment per day, and that would include, video games or DSs or PSPs or whatever all kinds of stuff they have, computer games. Even television, things like that. That's computer or electronic entertainment. That's all included in that. And we give them an hour a day to be able to use that time. Usually it's sometime in the afternoon when my wife tries to get a little bit of rest and peace and quiet. And we have them spend some time doing that in electronics. Beyond that, once that hour is up, then the computer is to be used for production, instruction, or communication, and not just leisure entertainment. Number 15, and again, you might want to tweak that for your own purposes and for your own situation, but that's the principle that we hold to. And we do make exceptions on certain days, and if they're sick or something like that, but that's usually what we try to hold to. Number 15 then is you will not expect fair shares or fairness. I developed this because I used to get frustrated when my wife was a kindergarten teacher prior to having children. And she is very, very good at making sure everybody has their fair share. I remember at times when we would give out, candy or something to the kids at church for Christmas presents and things like that. And she would count out each kind of candy to make sure each child had the particular kind of candy, each different kind, each variety, and that there was none that had two more than another one, that kind of thing. And that is very admirable, and it's very good, but it can be drawn too far. And what sometimes can happen is that we treat all the children the same, which ignores the principle of those who have greater responsibility enabling to have more freedom. And so, then it just also, it ignores the whole concept of some need more than others. And so, this may be true in your home where you have one child who's much more independent than the other children. And that child may not need as much attention in certain areas than some of the other children may need. And so you can't expect that time will be shared evenly. The same thing is true when it comes to food. When we're given a special treat like ice cream or something like that, you can't expect the youngest baby to have the same amount of ice cream as the teenager. Or, if you have cookies, to share the same cookies and have everybody have equal shares of cookies. One cookie for a two-year-old is that's a huge treat compared to one cookie for an adult. Their sizes are different. And so the whole concept there just is trying to instill within our children that different people have different needs and different requirements and different opportunities and different abilities. And we cannot expect to have the same as everybody else. And so it teaches them not to expect equal shares or to experience fairness. Life is not fair. Sometimes we're dealt a hand that is not the same hand as anybody else. and we need to learn to deal with it. And so it's trying to teach them that. That course is in relationship to the 10th commandment, which is you shall not covet. And, you know, it'd be nice if everybody had the same amount of possessions and same amount of wealth. But if that were the case, then it wouldn't mean much. And so we need to make sure that we teach our children not to expect equal shares or fairness. And then number 16 is you will discipline yourself to follow these principles or be disciplined by someone else. And again, this relates to other principles about treating people to their level of displayed maturity and giving freedom, more freedom to those who are showing more responsibility. And so if my kids can discipline themselves to observe these principles, then I won't have to do much. I won't have to interfere in their life. But to the extent that they do not adhere themselves to these principles, then I'm going to have to discipline them. And so this principle is kind of a catch-all to make sure that they understand that there are consequences to not following these principles. And those consequences will be meted out by me if they're not taken care of. One of the things I've tried to teach my children, and I think I've mentioned this on an earlier episode, but one of the things I've tried to teach my children is that if they don't discipline themselves, someone else will discipline them. And this is a good rule to know because it is true. I mean, you think about if you do not discipline yourself to get up at a right time so that you can make it to work on time, you're not going to have that job very long. That employer is going to fire you. That's a form of discipline. And so unless they can learn to discipline themselves, someone else will discipline them. If they cannot discipline themselves to keep within the speed limit, well, guess what? A police officer will discipline them. And so as a parent, we have a responsibility to teach them this principle by disciplining them when they do not discipline themselves. If we do not do that, by the way, then God will discipline us as parents for lacking our responsibility and shying away from it. So I hope that's been helpful to you. I hope you're able to take these 16 principles, tailor them to your own home, and hopefully they will be able to help you develop some order in your home and get in the right perspective when it comes to training your children for peace in the home and not chaos. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Someone who believed that the world would still be changed by just one life.